These are questions from Balaram Prabhu.
Okay, Balaram.
I would like to know, what does it mean in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 13.5? The sentence is, for a kshatriya, a military man shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. I understand that shooting arrows at the enemy is dharmic, but why transcendental? Isn't the motivation that makes the difference?
Yes. Here, I have to read again what the context is, but Arjuna's shooting arrows is transcendental. Whoever Arjuna's arrows hit, they attain their swarup. That would be a good. So it's transcendental. Why? Because Arjuna is fighting because he loves Krishna, and he's doing it to please Krishna. Someone else may be fighting to win a war, and if that's his dharma to do so, then that's just a religious activity for which at most he can attain a sun planet. But otherwise, only a devotee. And that then becomes the real essence of Bhagavad Gita. Is Bhagavad Gita is all about that you can do anything for Krishna. If it's done in the right consciousness, it becomes transcendental. And it's all the same. Whether you're selling books for Krishna, it's transcendental. Whether you're pujari, it's transcendental. Whether you're shooting arrows, it's transcendental. If it's done on Krishna's order, and if it's done out of pure affection for Krishna, then they're all the same. There's no difference in what you're doing. And if you're doing... if you're lifting mountains, then it's transcendental. And if you're lifting pebbles, that's also transcendental. Makes no difference. And the result is all the same. And then?
Can you please explain what this tansa means in Navavraja Mahima Volume 8? In summary, both fasting and feasting are meant to attain Krishna's company. But if we presume it is our place to do one or the other...
But if it is what?
It is our place. If we presume it is our place to do one or the other, without considering what we are qualified for, we will commit sin.
Mm-hmm.
How could someone be qualified or unqualified for either fasting or feasting? If one chooses any of those, but not to attain Krishna, is a sin anyway, isn't it?
Anything that you do has to be matched by a corresponding qualification. It's not the qualification of being able to chew. Here the qualification is whether you're authorized to do something. Feasting is something that you do when you're authorized to feast. If you're sick, If it's a fast day, you should be going out on book distribution and eating moderately, then these are all unauthorized. You're not qualified to do this. You don't have the right to be doing that. And if you don't have the right, then you're going to get a reaction. And the same thing for fasting. If you go to Jagannath Puri to fast, you're in the wrong place. You go to Jagannath Puri to feast, because that's how you worship Krishna. Similarly, if we have some other time when it's time to eat or respect, honor prasadam, and someone thinks, no, I'm going to be better off by fasting. So for everything there's a time, a place, a season, you have to know the time and place for everything. Everything has a fasting has a time, Ekadasi and so on, and feasting has a time. And devotees who know which are the appropriate things. That's called knowledge. It's called being wise. Otherwise, someone is foolish, then he can do what he thinks is the right thing, and it may end up being the wrong thing. Then?
His next question is, do the books of the Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, exist in any form in the spiritual world, and the books of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like yours?
Everything that anyone is writing about must be the truth, and the spiritual world is the land of truth and reality, so you can't make things up. So everything is going on there. It exists there. What forms it exists in is up for research. Certainly, they exist in form of lila, and they exist in the form of tattva, and they exist in the form of just existence of the spiritual world. And whether these things are described in original Vedic literature, whether they're then described in Smriti, something that acharyas have remembered and explained in their own words, that certainly must be the case. Not making things up. So, and for whoever, Prabhupada's disciples, grand disciples, any devotee, they're representing truths. It's not the book that's there. They're representing truths that exist there. On the other hand, Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of quotes of books that are quoted at a historical time that precedes the book actually having been written. So that then is a example where something exists in a commonly verbalized form, a standardly verbalized form, like anyavilasita shunya. That the definition of pure devotional service is a absolute given reality that eternally exists in that particular form. And what Rupa Goswami does is write down that which is already there. The karmis have this concept of a akash records. Knowledge is stored in some library somewhere in the ether. Does it exist in written form? Well, I can't remember having heard any such thing, but because spiritual world is, material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, there's no reason why there shouldn't be libraries there and why things shouldn't be written down. And of course there are many references to different sciences, arts being learned, studied. So the implication seems to be that there are things. Very safe to say that there are works, whether it's some works or something of acharyas and so on, that do exist there. And whether things here in the material world then are originally phrased that are so attractive that they enter into sort of the library, spiritual world library. Well, that you can find out when you go there and read and see if what you've written has made it up into Krishna's library.
His last question is, when Lord Chaitanya descended, Advaita Acharya also came to take part in the pastimes. What if it is not Swayam Bhagavan who descends, but for example, a Lila avatar? Does Mahavishnu come with him also?
Generally, then a corresponding expansion, as much as that Lila avatar is an expansion of Swayam Bhagavan, then a corresponding expansion of other incarnations will accompany him. Hare Krishna.